The ordination and installation of Reverend Phineas Whiteside as the first minister of Legacurry took place on Thursday, the 19th of October, 1841. 2 years before the first stone was laid on this building. And at that ordination service, Reverend William Gibson from Belfast preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." And in his speech at the end of the reception after the service, Reverend Whiteside referred to Jesus' analogy of gospel work being like fields that are white and ready for harvest. He talked about his own determination to dedicate himself to the work of ministry in God's harvest field. And then he said these words, "If these determinations meet with the response of God and be rendered a blessing to the souls of men, then I trust it will be no presumption to expect many a crown of rejoicing. To return from the harvest laden with many sheaves and present them faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To win souls to Christ was the grand design and the appointment of a Christian ministry, and if any exertions I may use be in the least degree subservient to the furtherance of that design, the consciousness that I had neither run in vain, neither labored in vain, will superabundantly repay for past exertions, and the solemn reflection that the great Master himself has shone on the undertaking will more than counterbalance the many difficulties incident to such work." It's appropriate, then, I think, that today, as we celebrate the 175th anniversary of the laying of the foundation stone of this church building, which took place on Friday, the 28th of July, 1843, and the church building was built in just 8 months, it's appropriate that we look at this passage in Hebrews 13, and especially verses 7 to 9. "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's possibly the best known verse in the book of Hebrews. But like all Bible verses, it's important to see it in its context. Verses 1 to 7 and through that is a list of sort of final exhortations from the writer to the Hebrews, you know, about marriage, about money, about various things like that. And then it comes to verses 7 to 9. And verse 8 is really the link between verse 7 and verse 9. It's set between the commendation of faithful leaders and the condemnation of unfaithful leaders and false teachers. "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And this is referring to their leaders in the recent past, not just the distant past. Remember those who preached Christ crucified to you. Remember those who taught you Christ in Sunday school and Bible class. Remember those who worked in God's harvest field in your lifetime. Remember that they taught you also to consider the outcome of their way of life and to imitate their faith. Look at the difference that Jesus made to their lives and imitate that faith. Now, you go and carry on that work of teaching and living out the gospel in your time, so that those coming after you will remember how you spoke the word of God to them and how you lived it out in everyday life. In contrast to that, in verse 9, we have, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." And in every generation, there are new and strange teachings, reinterpretations of the Bible that contradict and seek to lead God's people away from Christ and from his gospel. And we don't have to look too far today to find strange gospel contradicting teachings. Every day the world bombards us with teaching of modern gods. And let me just mention three of them. The God of self-determination. You can be whoever you want to be, but our identity is found in Christ, not in just who I want to be or think I should be. personal choice, the God of personal choice. It's your right to choose whatever you want, but it isn't if it contradicts the will and mind and purpose of God. Consumerism, it's your right to have whatever you want. In a world of poverty, that's a gross aberration. But we are not to be carried away by such teaching. So how do we do this? How do we follow the leaders who taught us the gospel in past times and not be carried away by false teachings? How do we do this? Well, first of all, by remembering our leaders who spoke the word of God to us, considering the outcome of their way of life and imitating their faith. And secondly, by remembering that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There's an unusual word order to that verse 8, and it's designed to focus our attention on Jesus Christ. We've put it on the screen there so you can get the emphasis off it. It's Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and forever. And it helps to give us the emphasis of the verse, with Jesus Christ right up front and center. Jesus Christ, preeminent, exultant, crucified, risen, reigning Lord, yesterday and today the same, and forever. And the verse is telling us more than the fact that Jesus is eternal, that he lived with the Father and the Spirit before all time and will live with them forever. The verse is telling us about the message of Jesus Christ as well. As the Hebrew leaders had taught them, Jesus Christ was crucified and risen. Crucified and risen for them, an historical event in the past, yesterday. He is still the same crucified and risen Lord today, and will be when the sun rises tomorrow and every day and forever. Jesus Christ, the same. And Jesus, how is he the same? Well, he's presented to us in Scripture in his threefold ministry of prophet, priest, and king. So let's just look at those each briefly for a moment. Jesus Christ is the same prophet. He spoke the truth and applied it to men and women on behalf of God. He is the ultimate and the last and the greatest of the prophets of God because he revealed God's character in his own person. And he revealed God's salvation and carried through that work of salvation for us. He is the same as a prophet because he came proclaiming the word of God, and he himself was the living word of God. He proclaimed our need to repent and believe, and he proclaimed our pardon and forgiveness. He did this through his words, but he also did this through his life. He is the same today as he was yesterday, the same prophet who still speaks to us through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is the same prophet, and he is also the same priest. A prophet is one who is an advocate or a go-between, one who goes between God and people. And the priest is also an advocate, a go-between, one who goes between people and God. The book of Hebrews was written primarily to the Jews, and it's full of references to the Old Testament sacrifices and to the work of the high priest. And it brings out better than anywhere else in the New Testament that Jesus was the ultimate high priest, that he offered the one final complete sacrifice for sin, and so he is able to act as our priest, as our go-between before God, and to bring us into God's presence. But even more than that, not only was he the great high priest who made this one final sacrifice, he himself was the one final sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. The sacrifice was made once for all and completed on the cross. He doesn't make that offering, and he doesn't need to make that offering over and over and over again. It is finished, and he now stands in heaven as our great high priest, speaking to the Father on our behalf. And then thirdly, he is king, prophet, priest, and king. Anthony Carter writes that in the Old Testament, the monarchy was established for the peace, prosperity, and welfare of the nation. The prototype king was David, and with David on the throne, the nation of Israel could say, all is well. David reigned over all Israel. He administered justice and equity to all the people. But Jesus is an even greater king than David. Jesus came in the line of David, and he came as David, great David's greater son. But he also came as David's Lord. Jesus, as we read in Revelation, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth, King of kings and Lord of lords. He rules with perfect justice, perfect equity. As king, Jesus rules in such a way as not to allow sin to reign over us any longer. Yesterday, Jesus Christ came as prophet, priest, and king. Today, Jesus Christ is still the same, prophet, priest, and king. Tomorrow, Jesus Christ will be prophet, priest, and king, and forever. He is a focus of faith for the Hebrews who first gathered to read this letter, gathered to hear this letter today, in their day. He is still the same as we gather together today to read this letter and to reflect on it. He was a focus of faith for the leaders who had gone before them yesterday. And Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king, will be the focus of true faith for us tomorrow and forever. On the 15th of January 1956, that was the date of the first time there was a broadcast service here in Legacurry, from Legacurry. Reverend John McCacken preached that morning on Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your fallow or unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The same message, essentially, that was proclaimed by William Gibson and Phineas Whiteside way back in 1841. Jesus Christ was the same prophet, priest, and king yesterday. Through the ministries of Phineas Whiteside and William Brown and Andrew Moody and Thomas Rankin and John McCacken and Bill Campbell and Charles McMullen. The same today in our time. As William Rain writes, those who seek to find security in the novel strange teaching have forgotten that the salvation accomplished through Christ's high priestly ministry is forever. The same prophet, priest, and king to yesterday, today, and forever. But there's one thing. There's one thing we need to add to this. Excuse me. During 1965, there was a Christian stewardship campaign, and Legacurry congregation took part in that Christian stewardship campaign. It was a way of living, this is quoting from the literature, a way of living, an approach to God, the proof of your faith, and it added the purpose of Christian stewardship, that it was to secure not the gift, but the giver. Not the possession, but the possessor. Not your money, but you for God. And if the church and congregation, it says, the past is honorable and the future bright, for the congregation is still youthful in spirit and rich in faith and enterprise. And in his foreword to the annual report that year, the Reverend John McCacken wrote these words. There are two reasons why I have always been glad that Legacurry Church was built at a crossroads. The first is that a crossroads suggests choice, decision, action. And the second is that it is wonderful to see men and women and children coming from the four points of the compass to worship and dispersing to carry the gospel truth and life in all directions. What we need to add to this is that while Jesus Christ is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king, every believer through the Holy Spirit is to minister to other people in these three ways as well. Tim Keller writes about this. Christians now hold this prophetic ministry. We are called to witness to our friends, to our neighbors, to our work colleagues, and to present to them the timeless message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. In Acts 8, verse 4, all of the Christians who had been scattered out of Jerusalem preached the word wherever they went. Colossians 4, 5 and 6, Paul tells all Christians to answer every non-believer with wisdom and grace. And in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter charges all believers to give good reasons for their faith to non-Christians. And so John McCracken was delighted to see men, women and children coming from the four points of compass to worship and dispersing to carry the gospel truth and life in all directions. Christians now hold this prophetic ministry, but Christians now hold this priestly ministry. We have free access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You no longer need any mediator. I am not a priest. I am not a mediator for you between you and God. Jesus Christ is the final high priest. And through him, the temple curtain has been torn in two. And we have, through faith in Christ, access to God, direct access. And we are daily to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, to worship him and to serve him through serving others. Keller writes, "The priesthood of all believers means not only that all are now active participants in joyful public worship, but also that they have the priestly calling to do good and to share with others. In worship and in service, we offer ourselves in this priestly ministry to God and as living sacrifices." And then Christians now hold this kingly ministry as well. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us that we will reign with him. We will reign with him forever. We are to confess our sins to one another. We are to exhort and encourage one another. We hold these responsibilities to lead one another in the way of the kingdom, in the way of Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we are to discern truth from error, and we have the right to vote and select those who will lead the church. You have chosen me. You have chosen your elders to lead you. You have that right as part of this kingly role. In other words, again, as Keller puts it, the power of governing the church rests in the people. Through pastors and teachers, though pastors and teachers are uniquely called to build up the body into spiritual maturity, every Christian is called to help build up the body into maturity by speaking the truth in love. So we hold together this prophetic, this priestly, this kingly ministry. Jesus Christ is the same. He is the same prophet, priest, and king as he was for the forefathers of the Hebrews who first read this message. He is the same for those who came before us here in Legacurry, and he will be the same prophet, priest, and king for those who come after us. And in the meantime, in our day, in our generation, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, we are to exercise this prophetic ministry, witnessing to the truth before non-believing friends and neighbors, this priestly ministry, daily offering our bodies as living sacrifices in worship and service, and this kingly ministry, building up the body into full maturity by speaking the truth in love. We have come to this church at the crossroads today from the four points of the compass to worship. So let us disperse to carry the gospel truth and life in all directions. The past is honorable and the future bright, for the congregation is still youthful in spirit and rich in faith and enterprise. John McCracken finished his annual report in 1965 with these words: "May our church at the crossroads continue to make choices that commend the Christian gospel and decisions that deepen the discipleship and dedication to Christ of all its members." I think we could say amen to that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.